Hi, this is Casey Treat. I'm pastor at Christian Faith, and we are excited to have you with us on our podcast. Thanks for joining in. I'm praying that you're going to hear a word that will inspire you, empower you to connect with Jesus and become more like him. That's what we live for. That's what's happening on today's podcast. Yeah, hey guys, good to see you. Welcome, High Mill Creek, Pastor Caleb, God bless you guys. Grab a seat, honored to be here. I've done something I've never done before in my life. I've preached a different message every service. So in the first service from Mark chapter 2, I talked about breaking and entering and about friendship. Who will carry your mat when you're down? What friend is willing to be criticized, ostracized, spoken ill of, looked down on? Who would carry your mat when that occurs? Because everybody has a mat. Do you have a friend like that? Would you be a friend like that? That was first service. Second service, how to grow resilience. Resilience means I can take a hit and get back up. I can regain my former shape. I'm not going to collapse like a broken accordion. I can take it. And more of it makes me stronger. You cannot build resilience with an easy life. You cannot build resilience watching online, sitting in a chair. You got to deal with the hardships of life and people and drama. And God nowhere promises us an easy life. He promises to love us, take us to heaven, but nothing is easy. The only thing easy is going to heaven. Why? He paid for it. I didn't. But if I want to have a good marriage, handle my finances, enjoy good health at my age, I got to pay the price. I pay that bill. God says, now I'll co-labor with you, but I'm not going to do it for you. I'm not going to fall on you and suddenly you're buff and hot and in good health and free of your medication. You're going to pay that price, not me. Now, does that make sense? So going to heaven is about the easiest thing in the world. That's nothing. It's living on earth. It's hard. It's dealing with marriage. It's hard. Raising kids is hard. Handling finances in this crazy economy. Fulfilling a dream. Let me tell you, that's hard. And most people bail. So in this third service, I'm going to talk to you about life lessons from a Navy SEAL. Totally different, but good perspective. St. Paul relates spiritual truths and values to the concept of military terminology. He tells Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. It won't always be easy. There will be challenges. There will be difficulties. So he says, endure hardness as a good soldier. Put that on your refrigerator. Endure hard. Suck it up, buttercup. It's amazing how many people can't take a hit. All right? So he says, endure hardness like a soldier, meaning they don't get a comfortable life in a battle. They don't get Wi-Fi. They don't have a smartphone out there under fire and it's cold or it's hot and it's nasty. He says, I want you to endure in life, believer, like a soldier. Then in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, Paul says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Then in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11, he says, I don't want you to be ignorant of the devil's strategy, that is, his war plans towards you. Don't be ignorant. I can't believe this happened. Oh, I can. That's part of the game. Who didn't tell you that? This is standard operating procedure. Spiritual warfare is not strange, unusual. It is the absolute normal part of Christian living. Warfare. You have an adversary. And he doesn't say, well, I beat up on you too much. I'm going to let up. Never happens. Steal, kill, and destroy. That's the only plan he's got for you every day you get up and breathe. So today I'm going to take a spiritual truth and put them in the context of military terminology. I'm going to borrow some concepts from Admiral William McGraven. He was part of SEAL Team 3. Later, he would become in charge of all the SEAL teams and all special ops forces in the United States. In a speech to the graduates of the University of Texas. Did I say Texas? Yes, I said Texas. That was for Pastor Casey. May 16th, 2014, and I heard him. He spoke on finding courage to change the world. So I'm going to walk through some of the values he thought were vital to anybody who wanted to succeed in life or lead in life in an environment that we all live in of constant stress, chaos, failure, and hardship. Are you ready?
Ready.
Put your seat tables up and buckle up. Number one, if you want to change the world, start by making your bed. During basic training, the first thing instructors would do is to inspect your bed. If you did it right, your corners would be square, your covers would be pulled tight, pillow center just under the headboard, and the extra blanket folded neatly at the foot of the bed. It was simple. It was mundane. But every morning, you made that bed to perfection. And by making your bed every morning, you will have accomplished the first task of the day. It gives you a small sense of pride, and it'll encourage you to do another and then another. So making your bed reinforces the fact they want you to know little things in life matter. If you can't do the little things right, you will never do big things right. Don't cut corners and take shortcuts. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10 says, don't despise or undervalue the day of small beginnings. See, your faith in God will involve a lot of small things. When you get up in the morning before anything goes wrong and you give thanks to God for a new day, it's just a small thing. But you've started your day with God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. A small thing, but I'm recognizing I'm not starting this day in my own strength. I'm acknowledging God is my strength, and you do it throughout the day. A relationship with God is not a lot of big things. It is a lot of little things. Same for marriage. No wife comes in and wants to divorce because her husband won't buy her a 5-carat diamond ring or a fur coat. No, it's usually, he won't talk to me. He's never home. Just little things, right? So every day, learn to accomplish something at the beginning of that day. Same for your finances. Same for your health. Little things over and over will make a big difference. I mean, I've watched guys, I go to the airport and I watch people and I look at somebody that may be 60, 65 years old and I thought, you didn't get there this weekend. You got in this bad condition where you got to have everybody pushing you around with the choices you made every day in small things for 60 years. And now you pay the price. See, it's those small things. It's those small things. Nah, it's too small. Right, okay. At about 60, 55, 60, 65, that's when the chickens come home to roost. And that's when you pay. And that's when you become every doctor's fantasy. And every pharmacy's fantasy. That's when the insurance company fall in love with you because you're going to be on medication the rest of your life because you made a lot of small decisions that you thought were unimportant. Well, one bite won't hurt me. No, but it leads to 20 more bites, and that hurts you. So every day, accomplish these things at the beginning of the day. Luke 16:10, he that is faithful in a little will always be faithful in much. A televangelist didn't say that. Jesus said that. If you can't take care of your bicycle, you ain't getting a car. And if you can't take care of that used car I bought you for my kids, then I'm not going to get you a new car. Hello, what are we thinking about? Take care of what you have. Do the small things first. So if you want to change the world, start by making your bed. Do the little things. Number two, if you want to change the world, find someone to help you paddle. During SEAL training, students are broken down into boat crews. Every day, they have to paddle through surf and paddle several miles down the shore. In the winter, surf in the Pacific can reach 8 to 10 feet high. Everybody has to dig in to make it. For the boat to make it to its destination, everybody on that boat has got to paddle. Teamwork only works if everybody on the team works. It's amazing how many people in church carry nothing, don't do anything to work. So it doesn't matter how talented a leader is, if he hadn't got a good crew, a good team, and everybody's not paddling, we're not going to go very far. You can't change the world alone. You're going to need help. Life together is better. You don't want to go through life alone. There's going to be a day the doctor's going to give you some bad news, or a company is going to let you go, or a spouse is going to file for divorce. On that day, you better have somebody to paddle with you. Marines are taught in basic training, never dig a foxhole for one person. Air Force fighter pilots that I was raised in and became a pilot know rule number one, you never leave your wingman. And there will be days you're going to need somebody else's foxhole, somebody else's help. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. Two are better than one. Genesis 2, verse 18. It's not good for man to be alone. Hebrews 10. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. See, whatever bad you're going through, you don't have to handle it by yourself. Like a SEAL boat team, you need to be part of a group. Get in a small group. Get in a connect group. They can encourage you, pray for you, counsel you. So make sure you're around other people who know how to paddle. You want to change the world? Make your bed. Do little things through the day. And realize, I'm going to need help paddling. Number three, you okay? Yes. Number three, if you want to change the world, measure a person by the size of their heart, not the size of their flippers. After a few weeks, McCray said, out of 150 men, we're down to just 35. The best boat crew, he said, was made up of little guys. Nobody was over 5 feet, 11 inches. They out-paddled, out-ran, and out-swam all the other boat crews. The big guys originally made fun of their tiny flippers they put on their tiny feet. But SEAL training is a great equalizer. Nothing mattered but your will to succeed. Not your race, not your color, not your ethnic background, not who mommy and daddy were or weren't, not your education, not your social status, not your bank account. No, no. You want to change the world? You measure a man by the size of their heart, not the size of their flippers. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 11. The race is not to the swift or the famous or the leaders on Instagram, nor the battle to the strong. Oh, no. That trouble is a good equalizer, the heart. When God measures a man, he doesn't put the tape measure around the head, puts it around the heart. How much heart you got? See? Number four, if you want to change the world, keep moving forward. Slow is better than stop. Keep moving forward. During uniform inspection, the instructors look for any flaw. All brass is polished. All boots are spit shined. Students get punished for the smallest infraction, a smudge on a belt buckle. Oh, they look for the little things. Failing uniform inspection means you got to go out and get in the surf zone. Wow. And then you're wet from head to toe, and they make you roll around on the beach until every part of your body is covered in sand. You become what Navy SEALs call a sugar cookie. You stayed in that uniform the rest of the day, cold, wet, and sandy. And a lot of students couldn't accept the fact that all their effort was in vain, that no matter how hard they tried to get the uniform right, it was never appreciated. So they quit. But they didn't understand the purpose of the drill. You were never going to pass. You would never have the perfect uniform. Life, folks, is never going to be perfect. And in life, sometimes, no matter how well you prepare or how well you perform, you end up a sugar cookie. Sometimes life works that way. Unfortunately, in America, quitting is a normal part of life. Paul puts it this way: we are pressed down on every side by trouble, but we're not crushed or broken. We're perplexed, but we do not quit. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 12. Hey, if you want to change the world, get over being a sugar cookie and keep moving forward. Number 5, if you want to change the world, don't be afraid of the circuses. What's a circus? Well, for Navy SEALs, every day you're challenged with multiple physical events. Long runs, long swims, obstacle courses, push-ups, and sit-ups. And every event has a quota and a time limit. If you fail to meet the condition at the end of the day, you were put on a list they call the circus list. So after everybody else gets to return to the barracks, you have to stay for 2 more hours of calisthenics designed to wear you down, break your spirit, and force you to quit. But they discovered that the students who constantly stayed on the list got stronger and stronger. The pain of the circuses built inner strength and physical resiliency. See, God has given us a remarkable promise. When we're weak, He is strong. There are times in life we all feel like we can't make it. We can't measure up. But when you can't, God can. See, when you come to the table, God isn't looking at what you bring. He's looking at what He brings. And He brings strength into my weakness. In life, there are going to be painful moments. Anybody had any? Yeah. Moments you feel like you can't make it. But God's promise is, I can do all things through Christ who will strengthen me. See, pain builds strength and resiliency, both in training and in the real world. So if you want to change the world, don't be afraid of the circus. Endure hardness as a good soldier. Number 6, don't back down from the sharks. Don't back down from the sharks. To pass SEAL training, they give you a long series of long swims. And one is the night swim. The waters of the Pacific are inhabited by many species of sharks. One is the great white. And the instructors joyfully will tell you no one has recently been eaten. Think on that as you walk out in the dark. And you're taught that if a shark begins to circle your position, stand your ground. Don't act afraid. Don't swim away if the shark darts towards you. Punch him in the snout and he will turn and swim away. In this world, Christians, we have an adversary. The Bible says he's come to steal, kill, and destroy. He roams around seeking whom he can devour. That's going on every day. 1 Peter 5, verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Stand your ground. James 4, verse 7, resist the devil and he will free. It doesn't say cry. It says resist the enemy. Throw some word of God at him. When Jesus fought the enemy, he quoted scripture. It's your sword. It's the only offensive weapon I have. Jesus quoted scripture against the enemy every time the enemy came. What makes you think you don't have to? So when bad news comes, when troubling circumstances occur, first thing that comes to my mind is scripture. The word of God is alive and powerful. I'm pulling the pin on the hand grenade and I'm thinking, eat this, my friend. And God says it will cause the enemy to break rank, to flee. Ephesians 6, verse 13. Now, I know you don't want to hear this. Having done all to stand, stand. Now, I'm an American. I hate that. What do you mean? That means after you've, well, I've done everything you said, Pastor K. I've done everything God said, and it ain't working. Having done all to stand. Stand. Well, I want a shot. I want a pill. I want to smoke something. I want something to make it quick, go away. God says, ain't got anything for you. Haven't done all, God bless you, stand. You have need of endurance that after you've done the will of God, you might obtain the promise. That's another one nobody wants to hear. You have need of endurance which is the ability to, like a 26-mile marathon, you gotta endure. You gotta go the long haul. Might not be pretty. You might really be feeling bad. You might have a little pain in your side, but you've got to have that endurance. And God promises you'll receive the promise. You will, if you endure. You have need of endurance. Why didn't somebody tell me that early in Christianity? I thought it's all quick. It depends on who you listen to, but you live life, you'll find out. Not much comes real quick. I can get saved real quick, but that's about where quit easy stops, right? Nothing's quick much. Quitting is easy, and that's why most people do it. If you want to change the world, don't back down from sharks. Face the bully, face the opposition, face your fear. Don't run from your fear. God has not given you the spirit of fear, so stop the panic. I've walked into hospital rooms, emergency room, crisis, heart attack. One of the parents or somebody is there. The kids are all there. Some of them are grown. The close friends of the family, they're all in there in hysterics. And it is something to watch when you walk in carrying authority and confidence of who you are, who God has made you to be, and it just goes down. It just quiet. See, when you know who you are, you calm the situation. Can you, or do you just light a match to gas and make it worse? Screaming, hollering, calling 400 people on the phone, getting on social media. Oh, don't do that. Don't do that. I am not supposed to be afraid. Fear will come to everybody, but I don't let it control me. I will face it. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Yeah. Well, the doctor said, I don't care. It depends on what God says. Let's see what God says. Well, I might die. Well, you might. Then you go to heaven. Is that all that bad? I mean, that's what we signed up for. You don't get eternal life on the earth part. You get that for after you leave, okay? So I'm not anxious to get in that crowd that's just leaving, understand? I know half of the people want Jesus to come back just to escape the reality of pain and circumstances. I'd like people, when they look at my casket, to say, look, he's moving. I like life, okay? Number seven. Are you still okay? Yes. Number seven, if you want to change your world, you've got to be your best in your darkest moments. You've got to be your best in the darkest moments. In SEAL training, they're dropped off outside a harbor and they have to swim underwater for 2 miles towards an enemy ship. They have nothing but a depth gauge and a compass. Some light does come through the water, but as they approach the large ship, it cast a dark black shadow, blocking out all light. It's so dark you cannot see your hand in front of your face. You feel terribly alone. It's hard to remember, where am I? What's up? What's down? And so you've got to put an explosive charge under the keel of that ship in total darkness. And every SEAL knows that under the keel, at the darkest moment of the mission, that's the time you've got to be calm and composed. When all your tactical skills and physical power and inner strength have to be brought to bear in that moment. And the temptation is to panic or get disoriented and you feel completely alone. And the lesson they're teaching, if you want to change your world, you've got to be your best in your darkest moments. Genesis 1 verse 2 says, there was darkness on the face of the earth. And then it says, the Spirit of God moved. Yeah. It doesn't matter who's president. It doesn't matter who's in the Supreme Court. It doesn't matter about what liberal woke government runs your city. It doesn't matter about the gas shortage or petroleum shortage or electric shortage. It doesn't matter what new dictator has arisen and what trouble he's causing. That's never going to stop. And God says, Christians think I got to have a Christian president, Christian Supreme Court, Christian government, Christian, and then God will move. God says I can move in darkness. I can move in any situation. Your situation is not too bad or too dark for God to move. Stop it. Get a grip. Take a deep breath. That says our God is not afraid of the dark. He created a perfect world in the midst of darkness on a cross, bearing the sin of the world. Jesus experienced darkness that covered the whole earth. So great it was, you could feel it, Scripture says. God not only created in the dark, He redeemed in the dark. Now, sometimes our mind tells us we're all alone, we're worthless, you're never going to get through this circumstance. But our God does some of His best work in dark places, like caves, like a dark tomb. God raised Jesus from the dead. He does some of His greatest work in dark places, in caves that you might find yourself in. Isaiah 45, verse 3, God says, I will give you the hidden treasure in the darkness. In Exodus, God comes to Moses on Mount Sinai in a dark cloud. Even when you're in a dark time, God is with you. Abraham meets God in the darkness. God will meet you in your darkness. Jacob wrestled an angel in the middle of the night. God is with you in your struggle. Angels announce the birth of Christ to shepherds at night. Isaiah 50, verse 10, in the Amplified says, who is among you who fears the Lord, who obeys the voice of His servant, yet who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust and be confident in the name of the Lord, and let him rely on his God. One, I think, true test of a person's spiritual life and character is not what they do in the extraordinary moments of life, but what they do when things go dark and they have no idea what's going on. Finally, number 8, if you want to change your world, don't ring the bell. Don't quit. In SEAL training, there's a brass bell in the center of their compound. All you have to do to quit, go out and ring the bell. Ring the bell and you no longer have to get up at 5 a.m. No more cold swims, no more running, no more obstacle courses, and no more enduring hard training. Just ring the bell. And my question this morning, where are you tempted to ring the bell? In your marriage, in your faith, in your business, in your career? Where are you tempted to ring the bell? Everybody has places they're tempted to ring the bell, but God encourages all of us, don't ring the bell. Don't quit. He said, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. So never give up on God. And remember, God will never give up on you. He says in Philippians 1, verse 6, that which I have begun in you, I will perform it till the day of Jesus. And no your aids or circumstances or lions or fire in the fiery furnace, nothing can stop God from fulfilling His promise to you, no matter what you go through. If I began it in you, I'll finish it in you, sweetheart. So if you want to change the world, don't ever, ever ring the bell. You can change your world. Start every day with a task completed. Major in those small things well. Find somebody to help you through life. Get connected in some small groups. Get some teammates in your boat. Know that life is not fair, never will be, and you're going to fail often. But if you take some risks, step up when times are toughest, face down bullies, never give up, the next generation will live in a world far better than the one we live in today. Amen. Would you bow your head with me? You've been so great, so wonderful. Our heads about. Maybe this morning you're in a situation where you are tempted to quit, tempted to give up. Maybe for the moment you have. It's not too late to reengage, to get back in the fight, to get back in what God called you to do and to be. God wants you to be a resilient person. He wants you to learn how to endure hard times. They won't be permanent, but you've got to go through hard places to get tougher. God wants to toughen us up. God wants to be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. I'm not strong in my own flesh, but I've lived enough life and gone through enough experiences where I can say, I've been to that rodeo. I've got a t-shirt. It's going to be okay. I can tell somebody who's going through that same struggle, maybe I had or you had, I can give hope and encouragement to them. Don't waste your pain. You share that with somebody so they won't quit, so they'll be encouraged to keep going. Don't ring the bell. You can feel like it. You can feel like screaming, marking the wall with crayons, and feeling sorry for yourself, sucking your thumb, having a tantrum, but don't quit. I've not always had a good day or felt good about it, but the one thing I have never done is to give up or to quit. As long as I'm breathing, as long as God's alive, I got hope. And that hope keeps you alive. I'm gonna make it. One day down, another day to go. The shelf life on this trouble is limited. It's not eternal. I will get through it. If God started it in me, He saw what I'm now seeing that I had no idea about, and He says, that which I began in you, I will perform it till the day of Jesus. So stay in the fight, stay in faith, stay in the Word, and I won't forsake you, and I will never leave you. Would you bow your head with me over at Mill Creek too? God bless you there. And I hope it helps you to understand there's just nothing easy except going to heaven and quitting. But if you're going to live successful in life, in marriage, with children, with corporations, with the government, if you're going to live life, you're just going to have trouble all the time. You know, leaders don't have less trouble than those who are not leaders. They just have a shorter term on their trouble. I don't have less trouble than anybody else. I just make sure my trouble days are shorter than longer. I fight them. I face them. I bring the Word against them. I have good friends like Pastor Casey and others. We stay in that fight. We encourage one another, and we get through. Now I'm stronger. Now I'm able to deal with something that was intimidating. Now it doesn't intimidate me anymore. I've been through it. And God will get you to that place too. Don't you dare give up. Don't you dare quit. Don't you ring that bell.
Thank you so much for joining with us today. I'm praying that you heard something that will impact your life. If you'd like more information, connect with us at the Christian Faith Church app or go to the website at christianfaith.us.